Welcome to the Beauty Revival Podcast, where you're taken on a journey of miracles, transformation, and radical beauty, inside and out. I'm your host, MB York. I'm a celebrity makeup artist, esthetician, former spa owner, and product developer. This isn't just another beauty podcast. This is a movement. I'm bringing you my best anti-aging, beauty, skincare, and makeup tips, but we're going way deeper. From Hollywood sets to the supernatural, from breaking free of toxic relationships to unlocking the divine power within you, this is where beauty meets faith and transformation begins. Say goodbye to society's toxic traps and hello to God's mission for your life. So if you're ready, hit play and let's get started. Welcome back to today's episode of Beauty Revival. And today I will be talking about Inside HSN. I brought the beauty ammo to a war zone. So this is going to be a little journey of my HSN experience. And I always say I could write a book about everything that happened there. And I get asked a lot how I got on there and just a lot of the business aspects of it. So I'm going to share a little cliff note of my experience. I talk about it too in my upcoming book, Beauty Revival. And it's an important chapter for me because it was just a really big dream of mine. I don't know why, but I always kind of had it in my heart. I really wanted to sell my products on TV. And in my viewpoint, it was like kind of the epitome of success. And the lucky thing for me is my products already were very successful before I launched on there. I wasn't creating something new and testing it to see how it would do, although it was definitely a different journey. But I had created things that I already was selling like crazy to my clients, and I was at trade shows and spa conventions, and specifically talking about my beauty ammo kit, which is my firstborn child and the product that I launched on HSN with. And so I'm going to tell you how I got on there and kind of like the real story of what happens behind the scenes and why I call it a war zone. I really had to fight for my brand and protect my products. And I just learned how to outperform what I felt was a broken system. And I kind of have taken everything I learned there and gotten so much value out of it, though, which I'll kind of weave in at the end. So I had, as many of you know, two spas for 10 years. I was an esthetician for many years, makeup artist for many years, and I was creating products that solve problems. And my beauty ammo kit solved the problem of concealer, powder, foundation, creasing, caking, and making lines look worse. And so everyone would walk into my spa just cracking under their eyes. And in my viewpoint, I was like, what is the point of putting makeup on if you can't get the skin to look smooth? And everyone would complain that they either wore no concealer because it made the lines look worse, like they had to choose between lines and dark circles. So I won't go into how I came up with the beauty ammo kit, but it was a solution to that problem. And I created it, and every person that I demoed it on would buy it because they could see the results instantly. So it was exciting for HSN or a home shopping opportunity because you can demonstrate it on air and people could see right then and there how every person would say, wow, after I applied it. So again, we do trade shows, spa conventions with my whole team where we might do 300, we might do 500 demos and we would sell like 300 kits. And that was because we used a sponge for every person. There was a way to kind of quantify it. So people could see the results and they would buy it right then and there. So I did have people kind of reach out here and there over the years, saying that they were reps and could get me on Home Shopping Network. And their contracts were just very detailed. Like, I would have to give them a percentage of everything for life. And I didn't know enough about the business, I felt, to confidently sign a contract because, again, I didn't know the right questions to ask. And I kind of wanted to authentically get an opportunity myself. And it actually happened, which was great. I was at a makeup artist show that I did, like a smaller convention in LA. And it was a lot of the celebrity makeup artists that were there. I met so many great ones who were all getting my products back to their shows that they were working on. And one of the, not a buyer for HSN, but somebody that worked for HSN, maybe to scout out new products, I don't know, but they saw the line for my booth and they saw all the reactions of everyone, and I did it on them and they were loving it, and they got it back to the right buyer at HSN and made sure that they knew how to apply it, which is super important. And so it really was a miracle because it could not have been teed up better, because you could just see it, someone could hand it to you. And if you don't know what it is, it really is the difference between, you know, interesting and amazing. So I got a call sometime after from one of their buyers, and I remember she specifically said, we're a really tough bunch over here, but we did it on one eye and not the other in our buyer's meeting, and everyone could see a difference, so we definitely want to bring this on. And it was so exciting for me. I was just ecstatic. And from that time, though, it literally was 1 year before I actually launched on HSN, because it was that much work with legalities, and you had to do all of this practicing, you know, doing audio type rehearsals where they were making sure with their legal department that you weren't saying anything that you weren't allowed to say. There was a ton of rules, a ton of legalities with your before and after photos and making sure that everything's in the same light. And like, all of these things are a lot of work. You would think, okay, you know, just stand in front of a white wall, but getting results to show up can be challenging too. For example, you could see it on your phone, but then you would upload it to the computer and maybe it wouldn't show up on the computer, or you can see it on the computer, but then on the TV screen, it wouldn't translate. So it was very challenging and just a lot of paperwork. And after that time, that year, I finally was able to go and launch. And I wasn't even officially launching on HSN yet. It was at their studios. I had to fly out to Tampa, Florida. And I forget the name of the network that they called it, but they had like a sister affiliate station. And you had to go on there first to prove that your product, you know, hit certain numbers in order to move on to actual HSN. So it was a lot of pressure because so much had gone into it to this time. And you just hear stories of people going on, like one big hair brand in particular, a very well-known hairstylist went one time, never to go back. I always make little jokes about how Florida is filled with all these infomercial companies, and they're all like scooping up the people that never were able to launch on HSN that had all this inventory left over, because they make you go on at first on consignment only. They take your products and it's all like a test, So they have minimal risk and you have a lot. A lot of people like refinance their house and put everything they have into their product and go on there. And for whatever reason, and I've learned there's so many things that could affect your success, and I'll talk about it quickly throughout so this episode doesn't get too long. So I went on and, you know, I went into hair and makeup and I had different outfits for different shows because I did have several air times. Usually I would go for 3 or 4 days and have maybe 5 different episodes. And It was crazy because my first one might be at midnight, my next one might be at 9 a.m., the next one at 3 p.m. And it was so nerve-wracking because I would leave my house at 7 a.m., go to the airport, fly to Tampa from Phoenix, and then I'd get into Tampa with the time difference at 5 o'clock and then get to my hotel by 7. My first show might be at midnight, but I'd have to be at the studio at 10 for makeup. And it was crazy. And then you'd get off the air just buzzing at 1 a.m. And then I'd have to be back at, say, 5 a.m. for a 7 a.m. segment. And you would have like 3 hours sleep, but I would not be able to sleep at all because the adrenaline and the nerves. And it was crazy. But going back to my first time launch, I got all mic'd up and oh my God, it was so nerve-wracking. I would have to walk through like this football field of call centers out to the studio, and you would be watching the people that go on before. And when their segment would finish, and this was always comical, they would, all these people would run and pull out the counter and whatever they were selling, and then wheel in your stuff, and lipstick would be flying onto the ground and rolling down the hallway. And I mean, it was just craziness. And I had an earpiece put in my ear, and nobody told me why, but all of a sudden, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you know, you're on. And it was great. They always gave me a great intro, you know, celebrity makeup artist, MB York, and would talk about Oscars, Emmys, Golden Globes, all the stuff that I did. And as time went on, it would include all the celebrities using my kit, because that's another crazy story that I'll share. But I didn't realize that the producer would be talking to me the entire time. So generally, you get a few minutes with the hosts before you go on air, and it's usually really chaotic. Like the green room is right next to the makeup room, and there's tons of brands. There's probably 4 makeup artists, maybe 3, everyone in hair and makeup. And you would just have to go find your host, and you would give them a little index card with your questions that you want them to ask you about the products. And sometimes you could connect with them ahead of time via email, and some hosts were easy to reach and very great about calling you and doing a little research ahead of time. But a lot of times, the only interaction you'd have with your host would be 2 minutes while they would be getting their makeup done. You'd run over and be like, okay, I wanted to tell you super quick. This is my beauty ammo kit. It's 3 steps to combat and camouflage wrinkles. Here's my questions before, after, blah, blah, blah. And they would be like, okay, okay, okay. And then boom, you're on live air. And it just varied so much with each host and how good they were in terms of how the segments would go, because sometimes, a lot of times, they really knew nothing at all about your product. So it was a challenge, you know, to overcome that, and with the stakes being so high. So anyways, I have the producer shouting in my ear the entire time, which I wasn't prepared for that. So I'm having to look natural, speak on camera, talk about my product, answer questions from the host, which, you know, I gave her my list, but there was obviously lots of ad-lib stuff that I wouldn't know she was going to ask. And I also had to do a live demo on my model. And so I quickly just realized I'm not going to be able to listen to the producer too, because I just couldn't think, you know. It was just sensory overload, and it would be like, Mary Beth, camera one, camera two, this so-and-so is calling in, got a caller now, you know, Mary Beth, go over to the makeup station now. And my mom would say later, not from this particular episode, but one of them over the years, like, that was weird how you were talking and you just left and went charging over to the makeup demo station. And I'm like, that's because they were screaming in my ear to go do it. So there's a lot that you don't see. And it was comical. Oh my gosh. I mean, again, it's a lot to really cover in this one episode. I eventually had a great model. I had a hard time finding the right one, but her name is Natalie, and she was like the best model there, and we became good friends, and she would give me all the scoop of everything behind the scenes, and a lot that, you know, sometimes smoke and mirrors where they present things to be big sellouts, but they only had a small amount of inventory, and I would get a lot of knowledge from her. But we would just laugh so hard. Oh my gosh, one time it was so stressful because I say with my Paint by Number eyeshadow kit, I would have to demo it on her, and this giant movie camera is like 1 foot from my hand. And one time I accidentally got this navy shadow all along the side of my hand. I don't know what happened, but when I put my hand on her cheek to brace myself to do the liner, we had this black streak, and I was like, oh my God. And by some miracle, I was able to just like pick up a wipe, and it immediately came right off. And oh my gosh, it was so hard to not just have that like hysterical laughter that you get like in high school when you're not supposed to laugh. But anyways, my first time on was so stressful. Somehow I got through it alive. And I did find out that I did 4 times their expected projections with the Beauty MO. And I believe I'm probably not giving you the exact right timelines, but I think it was over the course of 3 or 4 shows I had to do on that sister station. So I don't know if they still do it that way, but again, when I was finally done, they were like, congratulations, you have passed the test. You can now go on to HSN. So that was amazing. And I could not have been more relieved, because you cannot imagine the stakes of the pressure, you know, just not making a fool out of yourself on TV and having your demo go well and look well and, you know, being able to interact naturally with the host and then to be hitting numbers. And I just always would try to not think about all of that, like especially the selling part, which was what you were there to do. I never wanted to see my numbers. I didn't want to know after each show how I did, because I just felt like it would really mess with my head, because I knew I was giving 100%, and whether the numbers were good, bad, low, the stakes were just too high. And I was like, I do not want to know until I would leave and get back home. So I know a lot of brands, you know, they have huge teams with them and they're sitting there watching every show, every number. And I just never wanted to do that. And I never did that. And I was always consistent in terms of my presentation. So I was giving my best, and I knew that was all I can do. I couldn't have changed anything in terms of who's buying and who isn't. And I did learn over the course of 4 days that there's a lot of things that go into who's buying and who isn't. And quickly, I'll tell you, who your host is a very important thing. I learned this early on, because there were superstar hosts that you would pray to get or try to get, and your numbers would always be higher because they just had a bigger following of viewers, and they just had a great natural way of connecting. And then there were others that were just more stiff and more low vibe and just, you know, frustrating, because I would put so much into it and be so excited. And then as soon as the show would start, you'd just feel this like completely low vibe. And I would be like, oh no, this is not going to be good. And it would take so much to overcome that. And my numbers would reflect that. And I would complain. And then I would have that same host the next morning because they were very prime spots. And after complaining, I got a completely different version of that host, and we hit it out of the park. So I also, there were so many things I had to fight for. And when I fought for it, everything was better and it was worth it. But it took a huge toll on me, because I had to really micromanage everything. And if I were to just breeze on there and just like go with the flow, I would not have survived. A lot of my survival there was because I took it all so seriously, and the things that I saw that did not, you know, were not at the standard I felt they should be, I would just call it out and complain. And so it was hard, though, because it's just such a giant company. And they would say it's like a steamship, you know, for them to make a change took a long time because it was such a big corporation. So What I learned early on, though, was I had huge returns. This is so upsetting. And I realized eventually one of the issues was that the instruction sheets weren't being put in with the beauty ammo kits, which were so important. They were supposed to be added in and they weren't. So that was a problem. And, you know, the first time I saw the returns, it was just, you're just not prepared because you're not prepared for the numbers, you know, how many sales you're having, like to visualize and actually see, you know, thousands of your products going out, your kits going out. And then when you see the returns, it's just so disheartening for a lot of reasons. I mean, number one is they charge you for the returns. My packaging was absolutely destroyed during it. I had these beautiful hot pink hat boxes that my beauty ammo kit was in, which cost me a fortune. And I could have at least salvaged those, you know, for future use, but they destroyed everyone by putting this thick duct tape over it that would rip off all of the pink when you took the lid off. And some people literally would empty out all of the product and the jars would be empty, yet, you know, they would go ahead and return it. I had, you know, people that would just shove their finger in it. And, you know, again, it just wasn't ideal because it's so much different when I meet people personally, I show them personally, than having them just get something like the beauty ammo without the instruction sheet. It was just so disheartening. So I tried to solve these issues. And one thing I suggested to them, I actually hired this company. It was a client of mine that had the marketing company, and she said she can do it. And we created this video that said, like, say somebody were to buy my beauty ammo kit, they would get a video from me saying, thank you for your recent order of your beauty ammo kit. And just a few reminders, you know, when you get your kit, you know, make sure that, you know, you follow this instruction sheet, step one. And I would go through how to do it. And then I would say, if you have any questions, problems, and concerns, please reach out to me directly with my info, because I'm like, then I have an opportunity to fix it. Let's say they were missing a sponge in the kit or the instruction sheet or whatever, I would have an opportunity to fix it. And then I said, by the date they would get their product, I could have another email coming through saying, you know, once again, let's not forget, like, so I gave them this little marketing thing on how to lower the returns. And it was done really professionally. And it was just an idea, you know, for them, for the company, for HSN. And my buyer at the time said to me, Mary Beth, you're way ahead of yourself here. Basically just shot it down like, we're not interested. And so my client that had put the whole thing together had software where they can tell that the whole concept had been passed around like 92 times in the company and opened up 92 different times at HSN. So obviously they thought it was a good idea if they were passing it around and it had been looked at 92 times, but it wasn't implemented. I was kind of gaslit, like, gosh, I'm just way overstepping my welcome there by even suggesting something. So, hey, real quick, if you're loving the tips and stories I'm sharing, you've got to check out the beauty products I've created. These aren't just any products. My beauty ammo kit has been used on Hollywood sets and on shows like Dancing with the Stars, and my Paint by Number eyeshadow kit was featured twice on the Today Show, and it was a 5-star customer pick on HSN. I'm offering them as a bundle for just $99 to my Beauty Revival launch listeners, and it is $155 value. If you're looking for lifted skin, brighter eyes, and that youthful glow, my magical trio is your new best friend, featuring the fan favorite Lift and Snap Serum, my Unpack Your Bags Eye Gel, and the Marine Magic Moisturizer. Oh, and don't miss my Supernatural Brow product. It helps them get thicker with castor oil, and it's really easy to use. And if you want the most flattering, shimmery lipstick ever, Capri is it. Inspired by my travels and looks stunning on absolutely everyone. Head to mbyork.com to shop all of my bestsellers. I even bundle them in kits to keep it easy. That's mbyork.com. The link is in the show notes. It's time to get glowing. Anyways, that didn't happen. So next up, they were like wanting me to do an eyeshadow kit, and I was like, perfect, because I've been drawing this eye for my clients for years and putting stickers on all the shadows, telling them what brush to use. And the brushes were so important. So I created the Paint by Number eyeshadow kit and numbered the shadows, brushes, put the foolproof diagram in there. And it did take like a year in production, which is crazy. But I wanted all the brushes to be perfect. And every time they would send me a sample of the brush, if it was too thick, not thick enough, not fluffy enough, not stiff enough for what I needed it to do, I knew that I would have huge returns because people wouldn't be happy with how it went on. So I really held up launching that until everything was great. And one of the buyers, which they switched my buyers constantly too, which was frustrating, showed me, I remember, this Randolph Duke eyeshadow kit that was like $10 and was like, why can't you just do something like this? Like, they were just kind of pushing me, hurrying me along to just, you know, come up with some shadows. And I just never did that. I'm like, if my name is going to be on this, I'd rather make less money and have it be something that people are going to like. I was just a perfectionist about it. And I've always said, you know, the difference sometimes, a lot of times in a shade, whether it's lipstick or eyeshadow, the tiniest variation can be the difference between amazing and disaster. So I knew this because I worked on thousands of women. I knew what sold. I knew what worked. And so I wanted that to be reflected in the Paint by Number eyeshadow kit. When I finally launched it, I literally had three generations that I showed. It was my friend, my beautiful friend who was in her 40s, her mom who was in her 60s, and her daughter who was a teenager. One had red hair, one had brown, one had blonde, and they all had different eye colors, green, blue, and brown. So I was able to show how the kit works on all skin types, colors, tones. And it's a problem that all women say. Anyone that sits in my chair says, I have no idea how to do my eyes. So they're so relieved when they see the kit and the diagram and finally Makeup for Dummies. So that was a 5-star customer pick on HSN, which I was so proud of. And it's been twice featured on the Today Show ever since. It's something that my clients love to buy as a gift. I just was doing all my little country club pop-ups, and women are buying 3 and 4 at a time for bridal parties and for, you know, granddaughters. And it's just a real home run product. And I do attribute HSN to that, because they did take me on with my beauty ammo kit. And it was from the funds that I was making from that that I was able to create my other products. I never had any investment money come into me. Everything I did with my own money, which was either money that I was generating through my spas or that I generated through HSN. I would just keep rolling back anything I made into new products and things that they wanted me to do. So anyways, on to the next. They wanted me to do a full makeup lesson. And I just wanted to keep, you know, developing this concept of what I was doing with my own clients, which is always teaching them and giving them all the tools that they need. So I created this full face artillery kit with a coordinating brush kit, which was called the Weapons of Mass Seduction. And I mean, again, every brush was exactly perfect. It had the full size 3 brushes that were in the Paint by Number, the perfect big powder brush, perfect like angle blush that I used. And then the full face artillery kit had 6 shadows, a double blush that had like a pink and a bronze that you mixed together. And then this this like highlight powder that I created that was amazing. It had like yellow and pink and bronze, and it was in this beautiful pink kit, and it was perfect. So when I went to launch that, the problem was they told me that I could only talk about, I had to sell them separately. I could only first talk about the full face artillery and then talk about the weapons of mass seduction that I would have back to back segments. So let's say the first 15 minutes was just on the full face artillery. The second 15 minutes was just on the brush kits. And then they proceeded to put in an order for, I think it was like 5,000 of the full face artillery and then like 800 of the brush kits. And so I said, well, I created these to go together. And the problem is going to be if people don't have the tools, because the full face artillery literally had a GPS system for your gorgeous, perfect, stunning new look, itemizing which brush from the weapons of mass seduction kit went with each step. So, and it had two lipsticks too, which were perfect. And so they were created to go together, but they didn't care and said, nope, you can only talk about full face and then the brushes. So I said, so the first, what's going to happen is my first show, I'm going to sell out of all of the brush kits, and then I'm not going to have any with the rest of my air dates, my shows for the full face, and then I'm going to have huge returns on the people that got it without the brushes. And so lo and behold, that's what happened. So it is really challenging to succeed when you have to follow like these corporate rules that did not make sense. Whoever made the decision, it was not the best decision and I had no control. So it was like, okay, but I also had all the consequence because I had the consequence of the returns. Not only, you know, you could just have your product scrapped, which means they throw it away, but you have to pay for them to be scrapped, or you can pay for them to be returned to you so you can rummage through it all and see if anything is salvageable, which I was doing in the beginning, but it just gets to be too difficult. So you're basically just scrapping and salvaging everything. And so, but put that into your profit margin and, you know, you're already doing discounted prices for them. And it was just so frustrating. And so, you know, I kept hanging in there and they would give me another buyer and then it would be maybe 3 months later. And I kept trying to address issues of things that were happening to me. And I finally got this one meeting with maybe a new buyer, maybe some of the old buyers were there. I don't remember, but I had like a one sheet of paper, like with my notes of some of the things that had happened over the, you know, last year. Just in terms of, you know, being able to solve these problems to move forward. And as soon as we started the meeting and I started, the buyer like glances over at my sheet of paper and goes, Mary Beth, that is a book. Like, that's way too much. And yeah, so that was the vibe. I was like, okay, this is not good. And anytime I would try to address something that it would happen, they would just say, well, that's in the past. Let's just move forward. So anyways, yeah, so that was the challenge. And there was a lot of other things that, you know, are interesting. Like I had a lot of celebrities using my products and I would go over and do all of my events. And I would even do like, get a suite at the Beverly Hills Hotel. And I would invite all of the soap opera stars from like Days of Our Lives. And, they would come over, I would do eyelash extensions on them, give them my products, they would sign my consents. I was always doing red carpet events and around different celebrities. And so I would always get them to sign my consents saying that they used my beauty ammo or whatever product that it was. So every time that I went, I always had new celebrities. And so anytime you had a new celebrity name, you would have to get it approved through legal. And so there was always, in between each show that I would go out, each trip, there would be a good 3 months, 4 months of paperwork and tying up loose ends. And, you know, like I'd said, I started out on consignment with my products, but pretty quickly they switched me to a net 30 terms, which was great, which meant if all of my products didn't sell in one trip, they would just roll it over. And the next time I would go, they would have that inventory plus whatever else that they would ordered. It wasn't like they're shipping stuff back to me. So I graduated to a net maybe it was called a net 60, but in reality, it was a net 8 months. And that's how long it would take me to get paid, which was extremely challenging because every time I would leave, I would get another PO and I would have to order more components and order more products and pay for that while simultaneously dealing with returns that were coming in. And anyways, it just was a huge challenge. And FYI, I would personally call anyone that had an issue because this was before my products were all natural. It took me several years to find the chemist that I have now who was able to knock off my formulas and get rid of any ingredients like the parabens and stuff that used to be in them and have it still work as good. I had other companies try and it just wasn't even worth it. So I had maybe 1 in 200 people would have an allergic reaction. And it's just part of business. It's you can't control it. But I would personally call every person and talk them through it. And it wouldn't be anything more than they were puffy. And, a couple days later, it would be fine. But I don't have that issue anymore, thankfully, because every time, it would hurt me. I don't ever want anyone to have an issue. I took everything super seriously and always, did everything I could to overcome any potential issues. So I just kept trying to juggle all of it in terms of keeping it afloat, keeping the new products coming, dealing and learning as I go, getting new celebrity consents. They always introduce me as Hollywood's secret weapon and talking about the new shows that were using my product. I had tons of TV shows all using it. And this was kind of before my Dancing with the Stars phase, but it was always through word of mouth. Like even Dancing with the Stars, there was 6 or 7 makeup artists on that show. And they all worked on other shows also. Like they had got it on Hot in Cleveland and Betty White. And I would get, Cloris Leachman, so many people. But so I would get all of the names in the consents, but what would happen is they would mute me. And my mom would tell me afterwards, when we were talking during the intro, you're allowed to say whatever celebrity name and there's no rules. But during the body of your presentation, there's rules. You have to have consents signed for any name that you use. And so I would go to all this trouble to always have new celebrity names, and then they would mute them. And it was because the producer wouldn't believe the notes. That was the feedback that I got, because at the time, I was the only person on HSN that actually was using celebrity names because I had the consents. But the legal department wouldn't believe it. And it would take 3 days to get it resolved. And sometimes it wasn't until my very last show that they would stop muting me. So that was hugely disappointing. And I would just be in tears by the time that I left. And again, it was just a lot. It was super exciting, the adrenaline, the behind the scenes stuff. The behind the scenes people were amazing in terms of my model and all the makeup artists. We had so many private jokes, what happens in the makeup room stays in the makeup room. And it would be hilarious seeing the hosts come out wearing a dress that they had to go out and sell that was just not attractive. And they would be swearing and saying why do you get to look so cute and I have to wear this? And then you'd see them on the monitor, 5 minutes later selling it like it's the most beautiful thing they'd ever put on. And so we would laugh so hard. And a lot of times I would even jump in and do makeup in the makeup room because I'd be waiting around for so long and they would take so long to do the makeup. I was like, do you want me to do it? So then a lot of the hosts would request for me to do it because they liked how I did it better. But anyways, I love the makeup girls there too. And I love when how they did me, because even at first I was like, oh, no, I don't think so. But then it really was good for on TV. And I would eventually open my own eyes and be like, God, I kind of like that brighter color, because we all like get so set in our ways. So that was fun. But again, I just had buyer after buyer. I don't know how I hung on as long as I did. And I'll just fast forward to what was my last weekend there, or my last trip there. I forget what I was selling. I had been trying to connect with my buyer at the time. And just, you know, for all the reasons I just discussed, like there was always so much business to be done. And I had hoped to get a meeting while I was there in town. And instead of the meeting, I got a phone call like right before I was going on air on my cell. And I remember I was literally mic'd up and like going on air in, you know, 3 minutes or something. And she called and she was like slurring her words and was saying something about her girl bunny and her boy bunny. And I mean, I wanted to make that the title of the book, the HSN book, My Boy Bunny and My Girl Bunny. I have no idea what she was talking about. And it was nothing to do with me or what I was doing there. I somehow got off the phone and went out and did my show. And my last time there, I mean, every time there, I hit the numbers that I needed to, like they had goals for you. And I always reach my goals. And I would say, again, the inconsistencies would be the time of year. Like I learned by like year three, when they would offer me this date of like January 4th, like, no, don't take it, because everyone's getting their credit card bills from Christmas and people just aren't shopping. Or I learned sometimes it's who you follow. And if you like where you're positioned in the hour, like top of the hour is always considered prime. So when you get top of the hour, that's amazing. But, you know, there were times like I would have the end of the hour, or let's say even halfway through. And if you follow a brand that's great and doing well, you get to ride that wave. But if you follow somebody that is falling flat and isn't doing well, people change the channel. And so your numbers are affected by who you follow. And again, they call it like fighting for your real estate, like your times there, your dates, your hosts, you know, your who you follow, where you are and positioned in the hour. All of that is like real estate. So I know that there's brands that have teams and they're very established there, and you know, they're going to get the priority of all of those things. So if you come in as a newbie, you know, you're not going to go right to the best host. You're going to start kind of at the bottom. And, you know, it's a lot to overcome to hang in there to get to that level. So it was pretty crazy, because my very last visit there, I went into the cafeteria, and for some reason, I had a fortune cookie. I don't know what they were having for food, but they had fortune cookies. And I opened it up and it said something like, when your best isn't good enough, it's time to move on. And I was like, what? I knew it was a sign for me, but I also was like in disbelief, because I had put so much into it and I just kept believing. And I'd even met with the VP of HSN at one point and told him all of the challenges that I had there. And, you know, he was so positive about my brand. He said, you are everything that we are for HSN, like your Scottsdale thing. Like, that's how we see HSN, you know, your branding, how personable you are, the level of, you know, just authenticity that you bring in all of your products, how you treat people or how you train, you know, the customer. I had this amazing meeting, and, you know, they just kept giving me the analogy that it was like this steam truck and that they were, you know, getting all new management, things were changing. But somehow my I never heard from my buyer again after that last trip. And when I did try to follow up, I wasn't able to reach any new buyers. And it like all just fell through the cracks. It was the craziest thing. And, you know, I talked about this with like my department store segment when I talked about Henry Bendel and just like that dream that you have of like, oh, I'm going to be in department stores or I'm going to be on HSN or QVC. You know, that's another story I have for another day with a clothing product that I created. But basically, you have this dream that like you're going to go on and you're going to be so successful, like that it's the magic, you know, thing that you need. But it is in reality a complete new business that you have to learn. And again, so much goes into it. And, you know, some people do align with the right, you know, support people around them, people that already know all of this. And maybe that have an in. I know of one person on QVC that's what he does, more in like the home like improvement category. But he's become a friend and, you know, has told me on so many occasions, you know, he doesn't understand why I didn't have better support there. But, you know, I did learn a lot. And HSN taught me that talent isn't enough. You know, you need timing, the right host, the right mood. And often those things are out of your control. And I watched brilliant brands struggling, and not because they weren't good, but because the system wasn't set up to support them. And it just made me realize sometimes you're not failing. It's just that the structure isn't designed for you to succeed. And it's a maturity that you have to go through. And again, you just, you know, it's like that thing when people say to me, oh, I want to do a makeup line. Like, I just want to slap my knees and say, have fun, you know, and I do have fun. I love, love, love what I do. And I love sharing these things with you guys. Again, the huge amount of on-air experience that I got from those 4 years, I probably did between 80 and 100 shows on HSN. I worked with a media coach who actually coached like Emma Stone and lots of big celebrities. And she would look at every tape and critique all of my shows, and she would brutalize me. She would say, why are you flipping your hair around like a wild animal? What are you doing with your hands? Why are your hands in front of you? Like every time that I would go back, I would have a list of notes that my media coach had told me. And I would think, how am I going to remember all this? Like, oh my gosh, I have to go on, you know, have all the pressure of demoing it on stage, whatever, on air, communicating with the host, listening to the shouting producer, you know, all of these things. And then now I have my media coach's voice in my ear, but somehow I would remember. And I went from probably after the first year, I was terrorized. I was so stressed out. You have no idea. Every time I had a huge stage fright thing, but she helped me finally just flip it, you know, with one conversation with one of our coaching sessions. She said, you know, what is up with you? Like, why are you this nervous? Like, do you not feel like you deserve to be there? And it made me think. And I was like, no, I do deserve to be here. And she said, well, it's a lie. Like, fear is false evidence appearing real. Like, that's a lie. And that just basically, you know, turned it for me. I never was nervous again, or I would start to get nervous. And then I remember, oh, that's a lie. Why am I believing that? I 100% earned being here. I know what I'm doing. And why would I be nervous? So I flipped that off and it got so casual. One time I even was flying in, my luggage got lost. I had to do my first show like in my sweat outfit that I wore on the plane. And luckily it was a really cute one. And I just was going with the flow, like in a lot more categories. But when I stopped micromanaging everything around me in terms of, you know, the host and this question and that and every little detail, my numbers did go down. Like, things just started to backslide. Whereas when I was on it all, I did better, but it just took a lot out of me. It was so much stress. And I did have one of the producers took me aside at one point and said, you know, I see that you come here alone. I was very much the Jan Brady, I talk about this a lot, middle child instead of Marsha. You know, people would have people there just holding down their pant legs, you know, so that their pants, you know, looked like they were more streamlined. He said a lot of people, the people that have made it big here, like Suzanne Summers and Susan Lucci, you know, they're people who have a partner with them that are here supporting them. And it really makes a difference. And I did not have that. So I was really on my own. And, you know, maybe that was part of it. But anyways, I'm still grateful for what HSN taught me. And the episode isn't to bash anyone. It's just to share what I learned behind the scenes and what most people never get to see. So it turns out HSN wasn't the destination. It was just business school with cameras. But what I learned there still fuels the way I work today. So Beauty Revival is not just a product. It's the comeback story inside your mirror and inside your life. So if this episode spoke to you, share it with someone who needs to know, maybe somebody who wants to go on a shopping network, and I'll see you in the next episode. Thank you so much. Have a good one. Bye. That's a wrap on today's episode of Beauty Revival. Remember, true beauty starts in the mind and spirit. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. If today's message spoke to you, share this episode with a friend who needs a little beauty revival in their life. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It helps more women just like you step into their God-given glow. For more inspiration, beauty tips, and faith-fueled empowerment, connect with me on Instagram at mbyork.beauty and check out my website, mbyork.com. Until next time, stay radiant, stay revived, and let's glow.